Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Swimming Against the Current: Fighting for Common Sense in a World That's Lost Its Mind, is a 2024 nonfiction memoir and political commentary by Riley Gaines, co-authored with A.J. Gregory. The book centers on Gaines' experience as a decorated collegiate swimmer who became a public advocate after competing against Leah Thomas at the 2022 NCAA Women's Championships. Its purpose is not simply to recount one athlete's story, but to argue for the preservation of women's sports as single-sex categories grounded in biological sex. Across its chapters, the book combines personal narrative, cultural criticism, and policy argument to address fairness, privacy, safety, free speech, and Title IX. It is written for readers who want a direct, activist account of how one sport's controversy became a broader dispute over gender ideology and women's rights. The book's perspective is explicitly partisan, but its structure is straightforward personal testimony first, then a broader case for why female athletic spaces should remain protected from what Gaines sees as unreasonable institutional pressure. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Riley Gaines turns a swim meet controversy into a national women's sports campaign. The book begins with a highly specific lived experience, Gaines' time competing against Leah Thomas at the 2022 NCAA Women's Championships, and her reaction to being forced into a situation she views as fundamentally unfair. That episode is the emotional and argumentative anchor for the entire book. Rather than treating it as an isolated grievance, Gaines presents it as the moment she realized that female athletes could be expected to absorb a policy decision without meaningful consent or public debate. This framing matters because it transforms the book from a memoir about one athlete into a record of political awakening. The personal story gives the argument urgency, but it also establishes the book's central method, using firsthand experience as evidence of a broader institutional problem. The result is a narrative built around moral clarity, in which the sports event is not just remembered, but interpreted as proof that women's athletics had become vulnerable to external ideological pressure. Secondly, a defense of fairness in women's sports based on biological sex. One of the book's main claims is that women's sports depend on sex-based categories if they are to remain fair competition. Gaines argues that allowing transgender women who have undergone male puberty to compete in female events creates an uneven playing field because physical advantages developed through male puberty do not disappear entirely. The book presents this as a practical issue rather than an abstract philosophical one. If women's categories are not defined by sex, then the meaning of equal opportunity becomes unstable. This line of reasoning connects directly to the competitive purpose of sport, where records, rankings, scholarships, and team selection all depend on comparable physical conditions. Gaines's emphasis is not on debating identity in the abstract, but on protecting a system that was designed to account for sex-based athletic differences. The book's logic is therefore rooted in the structure of women's sports itself, arguing that fairness is not a slogan, but a set of conditions that must be preserved if female athletes are to compete on genuinely equal terms. Thirdly, privacy and safety in locker rooms and team spaces are treated as core women's rights issues. The book extends beyond competition to the wider environment surrounding women's athletics, especially locker rooms, changing areas, and team travel. Gaines argues that privacy is not a secondary concern, but a foundational one, because sports participation involves more than the game itself. Athletes must also undress, shower, travel, and share confined spaces, which makes sex-segregated facilities part of the basic infrastructure of women's sports. By highlighting these settings, the book broadens the issue from winning and losing to personal dignity and security. The argument is that institutional decisions affecting transgender inclusion can alter the everyday conditions female athletes face, even when they are not on the field or in the pool. This is one reason the book speaks in the language of rights rather than preferences. Gaines treats privacy and safety as inseparable from equal opportunity, suggesting that a women's sports policy that ignores bodily boundaries is incomplete. The force of this chapter-level theme is that it places ordinary team settings at the center of the political debate. Fourthly, free speech and public debate are presented as casualties of gender ideology. Another important dimension of the book is its criticism of the climate surrounding speech on transgender participation in sports. Gaines argues that many people hesitate to speak plainly because disagreement is punished socially or institutionally. In her telling, the controversy is not only about policy, but also about whether people are allowed to say that sex matters at all. This section of the book is important because it explains why the issue remains so polarized. Gaines sees the public conversation as constrained by fear, reputational pressure, and accusations that can shut down discussion before evidence is considered. The book therefore positions itself as an attempt to restore honest debate, even if the argument is controversial. This matters analytically because it turns the text into more than a sports memoir. It becomes a critique of modern institutions, media language, and the narrowing of acceptable viewpoints. Gaines's larger claim is that a society cannot solve a real policy conflict if it refuses to name biological realities or permits only one morally approved answer. Lastly, Title IX and women's equal opportunity are reframed as the legal foundation of the debate. The book repeatedly returns to Title IX as the governing principle behind its defense of women's sports. Gaines treats Title IX not as a symbolic slogan, but as a civil rights framework intended to guarantee female athletes meaningful opportunity. Her argument is that if women's categories are redefined in ways that erase sex distinctions, the original purpose of Title IX is weakened, because the law was created to correct exclusion based on sex. This legal angle gives the book a broader historical context. The controversy is not just about one championship or one athlete, but about whether decades of progress for women can be preserved. Gaines uses that framing to show why the debate matters to parents, coaches, administrators, and policymakers, not only to elite athletes. The book's practical concern is institutional policy, especially in schools and governing bodies that must decide who can compete where. By tying the issue to Title IX, Gaines argues that women's sports are a civil rights achievement that should not be diluted by policies she believes misunderstand equality. In conclusion, Swimming Against the Current is best suited for readers who want a direct, opinion-driven account of the battle over transgender participation in women's sports. It will be most useful to athletes, parents, coaches, policymakers, and general readers interested in how a single sports controversy became a national debate over sex, fairness, privacy, and free speech. The book's main value is not scholarly neutrality, but clarity of position Gaines writes as a witness and advocate. So the reader gets a first-person argument shaped by real experience in elite competition. That gives the book a different feel from more academic treatments of the subject, which often distance themselves from personal stakes. It also differs from purely memoir-based sports books because its purpose is explicitly political and legal, tied to Title IX and the structure of women's athletics. Readers will come away with a concise statement of the pro-women's sports case, as Gaines sees it, along with a sense of why the issue has become so emotionally and institutionally charged. Within its category, the book stands out for blending autobiography with activism and for presenting its thesis in direct, uncompromising language. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.